Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Dustin Hawkins, back in the Labatt Blue studio. Still talking Penn State quarterbacks, joined now by John McGonigal from the Center Daily Times. John was out front on the Tommy Stevens situation last week. Was probably as surprised still as any of us to watch it all unfold. Joins us now to share his thoughts. John, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me on, Dustin.
No, thanks for being here. I was interested in getting you on. I'm a big fan of your work. You do a lot of zigging while others are zagging. I think you bring a lot of fresh ideas to the table, and I hope that that people appreciate that about you. Even, you know, in this field where, you know, a lot of you guys are getting the same access at the same time, to bring something new to the table can be a challenge. So I just wanted to applaud you for that before we talked about Tommy Stevens.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Well, so you talked to Tom Stevens first, started to get a feel for what did that first conversation, how did that go before the transfer news came out?
Well, so I think it goes back a couple weeks. So I did a, you know, kind of a bigger feature on Tommy, you know, right before the spring game. And, you know, I had sat down with Tommy. We were talking about, a bunch of different stuff, you know, his dreams of playing, you know, playing in the NFL when he was a kid, winning the Heisman, all this kind of stuff. And so I wanted to talk to his dad for the story. And, you know, we covered those things over a long conversation. And at the very end, as we're kind of wrapping up, you know, I kind of said, hey, it seems like it might be, you know, his time to finally do all these things this year. And he's like, well, you know, if he's not going to be doing it for Penn State, he'll be doing it elsewhere. So that's when Tommy's dad a couple weeks ago first kind of told me, like, hey, he is so much invested in this year. We know that this is his last shot, quote unquote. And that if ever he said everyone already knows that if he's not playing at Penn State, he's probably going to leave, which makes sense. I mean, everyone kind of thought, like, look, you know, if this competition between him and Sean doesn't work out in Tommy's favor, he's not going to stick around and just be a backup for his last year of eligibility. But Big Tom Stevens' biggest thing was that he didn't want this to be dragged out long term. Like they didn't want this battle to be, you know, dragged out until August, when really at that point Tommy's options to transfer would be, you know, basically limited to none. So that's kind of where it started, was a couple weeks ago. And then once Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle broke the news that Tommy was in the portal, you know, I confirmed that, and then I was in contact with Tommy's dad, and he said, let's talk tomorrow. I'm like, okay. And so then it became clear that Tommy was leaving.
So, yeah, so really you did get a feel, a couple weeks prior. I would imagine it was still a little surprising, and I get it. I think the program was in a tough position. You know, we talked about this, Greg Pickle and I did for a bit, and really, you know, I think James Franklin would have loved to have seen, it be clear as day that Tommy Stevens was his guy. To reward the loyalty and to kind of back that up. I think he would have loved to see that, but at the same time, I don't think anybody was in a position to guarantee anything, which is why Tommy opted to try to search for that someplace else.
Yeah, look, it is surprising in a way because, you know, when I had talked to Tommy a couple weeks ago, he was saying, I love where I'm at right now. I'm in a good spot. Like, he was feeling confident going into the season. And everything that everyone had set up until that point was, you know, he's going to be the starter in 2019. And that was just the feeling. Like, Tommy was telling me how much he loved Penn State. And then, you know, when his dad was telling me, you know, after Tommy decided to leave, you know, Tommy's dad was telling me, like, that's not him just saying that. Like, Tommy genuinely loves Penn State, loves his teammates, his coaches, and all that kind of stuff. But it's, yeah, like you said, it was a situation where neither side could really, Penn State couldn't guarantee him the starting gig because of his injury. And then from his perspective, if he doesn't want to wait until August and possibly have this, you know, final season not go the way he wants, then you kind of understand his position. So I think it might be, it's good for Tommy, to be able to explore options and, you know, pick a place that he kind of knows he's going to start and feels good about it. And then I think it might be fine for Penn State in the long term too, because if you get a guy like Clifford in there and if he plays well, you could potentially have a 3-year starter. So I don't think it's a bad situation for both sides, but obviously, you know, both sides would have liked it to work out a different way.
Yeah, and you hate to see, you know, a kid spend 4 years with you, then decide to stick around when it would have been easier probably last spring to leave. Ultimately feel right. Like he has to, and you understand where Tommy's coming from. I kind of got the feeling, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, just judging Tom Stevens' comments, that maybe the first time it was painted by James Franklin as being a true competition was in the blue-white press conference.
Yeah, well, they knew it was a competition, quote-unquote competition.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Like, Tom Stevens is a high school coach, and he was telling me that, you know, he takes a lot of pride in that. So I think from a coaching standpoint, he kind of understands the thinking that, you know, James Franklin is having. But, you know, Tom told me that a few months ago, him, Tommy, James, and Ricky Ronnie met. And in that meeting, Tom Stevens was saying, hey, we don't want this to drag out to August. And then they hear what James Franklin says after the blue-white game, saying, like, hey, this needs to be a true competition. You know, we haven't seen enough. And at this point, you know, if you're Tom Stevens, if you're Tommy Stevens, if James Franklin hasn't seen enough to name Tommy the starter, now granted, he was hurt last year. You know, a lot of his reps, especially his throwing reps, have been in non-competitive situations. But if you haven't seen enough from a, hey, he's stuck around for 4 years, you've seen him in practice for 4 years, if you haven't seen enough of Tommy Stevens to name the starter now, then what really will, you know, in the fall when he's taking practice reps? So from their perspective, if James hasn't seen enough now, then when will he? You can't really take that chance. So I think those comments after the game definitely struck a chord. And then, of course, so Tommy met with James Franklin on Wednesday, in which, you know, Tom Stevens called it an exit meeting. And so James, you know, mentioned after the press, you know, in the press conference after the blue white game that, you know, the week after the spring game, we're going to be all the individual conversations with the players to let them know where they stand and everything. And it seems like Tommy kind of went into that meeting with one thing in mind, and that was letting him know that he was leaving Penn State.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about Penn State's quarterback situation, Tommy Stevens, Sean Clifford, with John McGonigal from the Center Daily Times. You have to, you know, you mentioned Sean Clifford earlier. He seemed to have done a lot of things right with his opportunities this spring, which is obviously a factor in all of this anyway. But just your early thoughts on what his game is, the fact that he's a little different than Trace McSorley, a little different than Tommy Stevens. He can run a little bit, but that's not the primary point of his game. And I know that mobility is a concern, I guess, for some people, but what have you seen just in your limited time at practice and having spoken to him, what Penn State's getting, assuming that he's the starting quarterback?
Yeah, first I'll touch on the mobility aspect of this. And, you know, when he came out of St. Xavier in Cincinnati, he was a pro-style quarterback and, you know, all the recruiting, you know, like 24/7 sports and all that, they labeled him as a pro-style guy, and he was. But at the same time, even in high school, I mean, he set the school record for rushing yards and rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. And then he's built on that. James Franklin said, you know, before the spring game, that Clifford has become more of a dual threat guy, you know, using his opportunities in winter workouts, become more explosive. And he even saw that a little bit in the blue-white game. He was scrambling around a bit. He actually led the blue team in rushing, which is kind of surprising. I mean, the spring game is a spring game, but it was still a positive to see that. But what Sean brings to the table is a big arm. I mean, you saw it in really limited opportunities last year. It was really easy for, you know, fans to get excited, though, when a kid completes five passes for 195 yards, two touchdowns. And the one incompletion that he had should have been a 50-yard catch by DeAndre Tompkins in the Citrus Bowl, but he dropped it. You know, the opportunity to stretch the field is there, which is really what Penn State's been missing. You know, in 2016, I was looking this up for a story the other day. In 2016, when Trace McSorley and those guys went on a Big Ten title run, in conference play, they ranked tied for third in the country of, you know, passing plays of 30 yards or more. Last year in conference play, they ranked, you know, 73rd in the country. So the difference was there, obviously. When you score 50 points against Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State last year, that's not good enough on offense. And it's because their downfield passing game wasn't doing its job. And so if Clifford can come in there, push the ball downfield, I think that's what Penn State fans will want to see. I think that's what Ricky Ronnie will want to see and the Penn State coaching staff.
So my impression, again, given limited opportunity, but there's big arm, and Tommy Stevens certainly had that. Will Levis, yeah. I believe, has that. Sean Clifford, his arm might not be as big as those guys, but when it comes to, you know, stroking the ball with confidence down the field, and he's got enough arm. I don't think that's an issue at all. But it's a very catchable deep ball. I think it's a more catchable deep ball that he looks like he throws than both of those guys. Just again, for what that's worth, I would personally love to see the return of that downfield attack. And I think Clifford is the guy who gives you the best opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and a big part of that too is just confidence. I mean, pushing the ball downfield like that. And Clifford is a confident dude. You know, when he came in, and he's a competitive guy, that was kind of the storyline surrounding him last year. You know, in 2018 winter workouts, he broke his hand punching a weight room bench because he got so competitive over, I think, not hitting a goal of his.
I forgot about
he
that.
Is a, yeah. He is a fiery, competitive guy. And that helps on the field. It does. When you're tasked with, putting a team in certain situations and, you know, 2 minute drill and, you know, making a big play. And when you got a kid who's so competitive, literally called himself the most competitive player on the team, and he's so confident in his ability, that helps. I mean, it's not everything, but it helps. So it'll be interesting to see how he does in the first few games. Barring injury, assuming he's a starter in 2019, that first 3 or 4 games, how he kind of adjusts and how he attacks defenses and how that'll translate in Big Ten play.
And then just about 30 seconds, just your thoughts on the idea here of redshirt freshman and Will Levis be in a position to be your number two.
Yeah, I like Will. You saw it in the 59-yard touchdown catch that Dan Chisena had in the blue-white game. The story obviously was Chisena getting that scholarship, but it was a great throw by Levis. We've heard really good things of him. He was a 3-star prospect coming out of high school, but Joe Moorhead recruited him hard. Joe Moorhead liked him a lot, and I trust Joe Moorhead's evaluation, and I think Levis will be a good number two.
Good number two, really good athlete for the position. I didn't really know. The only thing I could imagine was that he just didn't get a lot of exposure as a recruit coming from New England, but Will Levis certainly has some game. It being put in a position where ideally he wouldn't be, but I do believe he's going to be able to handle that well also. That's John McGonigal from the Center Daily Times helping us break down Penn State's quarterback situation. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Dustin. Appreciate it.
All right, we're moving on. We got one more quarter to go here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Greg your Penn State football questions, surely about some quarterbacks then as well. Stick around.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.